Today's passage of scripture from 1 John chapter 4 gives us the basic facts about who God is and what God is about. Listen again to the opening words of today's scripture passage. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. Love is who God is. Love is what God is about. It is deceptively simple. Notice that John does not say God is power and protection. In a world where we long for security and protection, we often yearn for a God who will protect us from all harm. Notice that John does not say that God is judgment or a divine lawyer who lays down the law and doles out the punishments, catching cheaters and rewarding faithfulness, giving those with whom we don't agree their due. We often yearn for a God who will reward our faithfulness and perceived righteousness and punish those who have wronged us. In our increasingly divided and polarized society, we like to think that God is on our side and therefore against any others who are not with us. Notice that John does not say God is one of prosperity, promising to make us rich if we follow a few simple rules. Sometimes we long for a simplistic faith where we just follow these rules and everything will be well. Instead, John says something much more radical and life-giving about God. Love is who God is. Love is what God is about. It's not about power or law or prosperity, but about self-sacrificing, poured out love that is the heart of the truth about God. Our evidence for this conclusion comes not from information about God, but rather from God's very own actions. John writes this in verse 9. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent God's only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Like the scripture, John 3:16 verse, that you sometimes see held up on posters at sporting events, for God so loved the world that God gave God's only Son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. That's John 3:16. We know that God is love not because God says it, but because God does it. John writes that our testimony, our witness, comes from what we've seen. He then points to the memory that the eyewitnesses in his community would still have found very fresh because they lived through that first Easter. Some in his community stood at the foot of the cross and watched the suffering of outstretched love. Some in the community prepared the body of Jesus for burial. Some, seeing his hand and wounds up close, hands and wounds caused by the violence that was met with love. Some in the community doubted, only to have doubts transformed by the presence of a love that cannot die. Who is God? And what is God about? Love. Now, this is not a romantic or sentimental kind of love. It's not a feeling, but a powerful action that comforts and connects and sees us through whatever obstacle we face. It gives us courage. in a storm. It calms the unrelenting seas. It is a love that finds a way through when there seems to be absolutely, positively no way. This past week, as I was working on this sermon, church member Susanna Brennan posted on Facebook about a children's book called Love by Newbery-winning author Matt de la Peña. Now, you know, we preachers are simply desperate for good sermon illustrations. I'll just put that out there. We are. We're just desperate for them. And so I saw that on Facebook, and I reached out to Susanna, and she's in our nursery today, caring for some of our youngest children. But she let me borrow a copy of this beautiful children's story called Love. It's beautifully illustrated by Lauren Long from the New York Times series Otis Books. And the story is about finding all the love around you and remembering its power to transform your life and give you courage and strength. Love, when Pastor Karen, our children's minister, gets back into town, I'm going to suggest that we get a copy for our children's library, and you might want to stop by and read it too. Love by Matt de la Peña. So God is love. It is who God is and who God is about. And God reveals that God is the source of love by sending Jesus to bring us forgiveness and new life. As recipients of such amazing love, there really is only one response that we can make: to show love to one another. And this is precisely what John recommends. He says this in verse 11, "Beloved, since God loved us so much, we ought to love one another." Now, we say, sure, but when you really think about it, these are challenging words. After all, John's not talking about an emotion here, but an act that will and can have a transformative effect on us and on the world. God is not just interested in us alone. God is also especially interested in transforming the world around us, and especially liberating people who are oppressed. If we love one another, promises John, God lives in us and God's love is perfected in us. If we take the bold step of loving one another, and this is what I think John meant by loving one another: friends and enemies, blacks and whites, gays and straights, Muslims and Christians, God will live in us and bring God's love to completion in us when we love that way. Love is at the core of what is meant to be a Christian. John tells us that God lives in those who love. Loving one another and believing in Jesus are two sides of the same Christian coin. Loving one another and believing in Jesus, two sides of the same Christian coin. Such a powerful love can change our lives. It can eliminate fear, for perfect love casts out fear. It can also be a test of our integrity, showing that our words are matched by our actions. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers and sisters are liars, writes John. For those who do not love a brother and sister whom they've seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The bottom line is this, according to John: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Here's the truth of this passage. We know God in the fullest and most authentic sense only when the love of God flows through us. God is love only when the one who loves can know that love is God. It's not an abstract concept, but something that must be lived out in and through us A simple way to remember it is this: we are called to make God's love visible. We are called to make God's love visible. Now, in your bulletin, there's a really beautiful insert, and there are lots of ways for you to make God's love visible on this insert. You can walk to help fight hunger next Sunday. You can sign up to help us when we help those who find themselves homeless through the SOS, the South Oakland Shelter Ministry. That will happen in July. There's a sign-up table today after worship. You can assist as we care for children in our community and teach them about God's love during Vacation Bible School in July. Again, there's a way to sign up online or today after worship. We already mentioned our youth who will be extending our mission beyond these walls, and the 120 families from our community who will need food assistance this summer. There's ways for you to bring in items to help with that, making God's love visible. Making God's love visible. It's what we're called to do, loving our brothers and sisters and all of God's children without judgment. John is very clear that one thing we cannot do is claim to love God while refusing to love a sister and brother who's right in front of us. Love and hate cannot mix. We tell lies to ourselves when we claim that we can love and hate at the same time. The two great commandments that Jesus taught, you know them, they're woven together. Love God and love your neighbor. Love God and love your neighbor. Again, deceptively simple, but profoundly powerful. When we put this kind of love into practice and it takes root, an amazing fruit is produced. A fruit that changes the world, transforms society, brings liberation to people who find themselves oppressed. In August 1955, 14-year-old Emmett Till from Chicago was visiting relatives in Mississippi. He went to a grocery store to buy some bubble gum, and he encountered a white woman, the cashier, Carolyn Bryant. Now, it is not known if this young boy actually flirted with Mrs. Bryant or whistled at her, but he was accused of that. And 4 days later, Mrs. Bryant's husband, Roy, and his half-brother, J.W. Milam, kidnapped Emmett Till. They beat him. They shot him in the head, and they strung barbed wire and a 75-pound metal fan around his neck, and they dumped his body in the Tallahatchie River. It was 7 days before he was found. Some of you remember this event, but others may be hearing the story for the very first time. Emmett Till's mother, Mamie Mobley, came to identify the body of her son. And Mrs. Mobley told the funeral director that she wanted the world to see what she saw. So back in Chicago, they had an open casket, and there were pictures of Mamie Mobley standing before the beaten body of her 14-year-old son. And these pictures were shared in the newspapers all across the land. It was the beginning of the civil rights movement. Later, back in Mississippi, an all-white jury quickly acquitted the men who murdered Emmett Till. A year later, Mamie Mobley, the mother of Emmett Till, was asked after the trial. She was asked if she harbored any bitterness towards these men who had murdered her son. She said this: "It certainly would have been unnatural not to hate them. Yet I'd have to say, I'm unnatural. The Lord gave me a shield, and I don't know how to describe it. I do not wish them dead. I do not wish them in jail. If I had to, I could take their four little children, and I could raise them as if they were my own, and I could have loved them. I believe the Lord meant what he said. And I try to live according to the way I've been taught. Extraordinary. Love and hate cannot exist together. If we love God, then we must love our neighbor. God is love. It is who God is and what God is about. God's love itself is what transforms us and our world. Like God, we are to love the one who is unlovely and unresponsive. Yes, that's what it means. You know, one time I preached on this passage earlier in my ministry, and someone saw me in the greeting line, and they just said this, "Pastor Melanie, I just have one question. Does your sermon mean that I have to love everyone, even people who I don't like?" And I said, "That's it. That's it." They said, "Okay, just checking." It's easy for us to love those who love us in return. We are commanded, compelled, called as Christians to love the one who is unloving, who is angry and hurtful. Only then do we see for ourselves what God as love is really like. Who God is and what God is about is love. Powerful, self-giving, amazing, transforming love. And God first pours that kind of love out on us. And then God says, Okay now, I call you to love others that way in return. To truly know God, we are to make God's love visible. That's it. For God is love. Amen.